getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker. Today we're talking about blending a family and specifically about helping your child adapt to your remarriage. Now, blending a family is a huge topic. I think you could probably have a whole podcast devoted solely to the topic. So today I know we're only going to scratch the surface. What we also know is that second marriages are not easy. The U.S. Census Bureau in 2006 found that some 60% of second marriages end in divorce, as do 70% of third marriages. Now, experts cite a number of reasons for this, and one of the reasons is that children can be a destabilizing factor. There's differences in parenting styles, challenges to who disciplines the children, getting the children to get along with each other, and coordinating parenting schedules. So what can you do to help your child see your new spouse and their children as a positive addition to their life? My guest today is Maria Ashworth, who's an author, and she's written a book called Step 1, Step 2, Step 3, and 4. It's for children to reassure them that in spite of the change, the outcome of a blended family can be worth it. And it's based on Maria's own experience. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Maria, I thought we could start. Let me ask you if you could share a little bit about your blended family, like how many children you have, how old they were, how many children your now husband has, and how old they were. Just kind of sort of draw a picture here for us.
Sure. We've been married 9 years this past March, and his children range from presently 12, 16, 23, 30, and 33.
He had 5 children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so at that time, you know, his oldest was 20, on her last year of college or something like that.
Right.
And then the littlest guy, he was 2, and the one above that was 4. And my children, I have two children. Presently, they are 19 and 21. And at the time, so my daughter was probably 8, my son was 9.
Okay.
And so that makes it a little difficult too, because we're not just talking about, you know, almost like blending two families. With us, we're blending almost like 3 families, because he was married twice. So we have 2 different moms. The first 3 are from the first marriage, and the smallest 2 were from the second marriage.
Right. Wow. Yes, complex. And that's the thing about these blended families. They are often very complex. I'm sure we're going to get into some of that. I was wondering, at what stage in your relationship with your now husband did you start having your children spend time with him? Like, did you wait until you knew that you were going to get married?
Yes, I thought until it was serious. I never wanted to introduce my kids to just anyone that was just coming into my life, and this was just the guy, you know, the sauce for today. It just wasn't. I just didn't like to do that. When I was divorced, I had my private time, and I just thought I didn't want to inflict that on my children. So when we got engaged, and you know, it was serious. I introduced him to them. And they absolutely adored him. I mean, that was easy. I'm going to say that was the easy part.
I was going to say, because that was going to be my next question, was how did your children react? Well, I mean, how did they react when you told them that you were going to get remarried?
They were happy for me. It's terrible to say, but sometimes kids like when the parents are divorced, because they get 2 Christmases, they get 2 Easters. My daughter would say that to me today, you know, oh, it was so nice, we got 2 of everything. So they really loved my fiance at the time. He was very different from my 18 years of marriage, where even religious-wise, he was totally different. He brought a lot of spirituality into our home, which was a great additive for my family. It was something that was needed, which we didn't have with my last marriage.
Right. So had you talked to your children, like, before you introduced him to them? Did they know that you were dating him?
I can't, you know, that far back, did they know I was dating him? I'm going to say they knew mommy was dating, that I had a boyfriend, but nothing of where I, you know, there was no sleepovers, there was nothing like that,
right.
And especially my fiancé, no way. I mean, he's just that religious where he just feels that he didn't want to inflict that on his kids nor mine. So he wanted to wait, and, you know, when I had my private time with my, when my kids went to their dad's, it was a totally different thing.
Right, right. And so, and what about when you got to meet his children? Was that kind of at the same time that you decided that you were ready for him to meet your children, or?
Yes. And we, I remember this one moment that we were all together and we're at his house, and I thought everything was great and we got along fine. I think there were some residuals from the second marriage where the little guys didn't have that because that was their mom. So the first three had some bad residuals from the second wife. And I think that inflicted on my relationship with them.
Right.
And, you know, I look at, when I look at the Brady Bunch and I see Carol and her husband, oh, it's just been grand and they get along with the kids. It wasn't like that for me in the beginning. It was tough, especially for the oldest daughter. And she didn't care for me to be dating. We had more trouble with the older ones than we had with the younger ones. we really didn't have any trouble with the younger ones. It was the oldest that we had the trouble with.
So can you give me an example of what trouble looked like?
Yeah, it's not good. I remember I went over his house one day, and his daughter was presently living with him, the oldest one. She had just finished college, and she was just started a teaching career. And I came in the house, and she was slamming doors. And I was like, what is going on? So he finally, you know, I think I did. I said, what is happening? And she was mad at me. I tried to explain, you know, that I'm not with your dad for anything other but love. That's it. And like I said, I think there was just some past history from the second wife that, you know, inflicted on our relationship. And so presently at the time, he asked me to go into the next room. And she said, you need to choose right now. It's her or me. And I was like, this can't be happening. This really, and we were already engaged. And I was like, this just can't be happening. And he said, I don't want to have to choose. I don't want to lose any one of you. I can't do that. And so she stormed out. So that was that. And then I will say, I know this is hard for anyone to hear or even hard for me to say, and I don't want to, you know, put it out there as bad blood, but the oldest two didn't come to our wedding.
Really?
And yeah, and I'm not sure what that was for, on why, but like I said, I just think there were some crosses that we needed to bear, and we just never got over that hump. And I'm going to say we're better today. You know, things are much better. You know, I think once they have families, once they have children, that empathy factor comes in, and they understand, you know, children and family and husband and wife, and, you know, I think things change. It's not 100%. I'm not going to say it is. But the younger ones are a lot easier. As far as my kids with my present husband, they adored him from day one. He was just the type of guy that was mushy. He'd kiss them on the head when, you know, he comes home from work. He still does that today. You know,
right.
My daughter is with us. She's 19. He kisses her on the head. He hugs her. He's very involved. On my part, I want to be involved. I want to go shopping. I want to be asked to go to lunch. That factor is still not there. And we're almost 10 years into this. And that's my true hardship right now.
Right.
Is so that I want to be more. I want to be more.
Right. So the fact that the children, not all the children were on board with you getting remarried, didn't stop you from getting married.
No, because you look at in the end, when you marry someone, you know, your relationship grows and your children are not going to be there for you. They're going to grow up. They're going to find their relationships. And the cycle keeps going. You gotta, not that you have to please yourself, but you have to, you know, look at what you expect for your life in the end. So for me, our relationship was important. We figured the children would, you know, relax into it and understand that Dad and I are together and it's gonna, you know, we love each other. It's gonna stay that way and nothing can break us apart. It's hard. It's not easy.
Because I would imagine that having your children oppose your relationship, that can be a source of tension and friction between you and your then fiancé.
And that it was, very much so. And like I said, there are certain instances today that do still inflict on our relationship. And I think for me, I'm needy. I've had 13 pregnancies, so I have two children to speak of. And me being a mom or even a stepmom, I value that so much that I want to be a part of their lives. I don't want to take anyone's place, but I want to be a part of their lives. And I think they've just, the oldest ones have held me out at a distance. Because I honestly feel in my heart of hearts that they are truly, they won't admit it, but I think they're truly afraid of getting hurt or having their dad be hurt.
Right.
Being
right.
Protective. Right. They're very protective.
Right. Right. So I was, one of my next questions then was about how your children were getting along. How did the children all together get along? And
In the beginning, my daughter wanted to have nothing to do with them because there were boys coming in. We had the three boys coming in at the time. So there were 2, 4, and I think one was 11, and they had to stay in the adjoining room with her. So there was a bathroom, it was a Jack and Jill, and she had to share the bathroom with them. So she was annoyed that she had to share the bathroom with boys. She didn't want them touching her stuff, stay away from everything that I have. She was very protective and especially protective of her mom, you know. And I believe that she was feeling, where is my place then? As these kids are coming in, my mom also has to take care of them. What happens to me? And I think that was her problem in the beginning. And in order for us to overcome that, you know, I had to give her that love that she was looking for, no different than having three more kids in the house, but showing her that nothing was going to change.
Right. And so what about your son? Did he take how did he handle having three other boys in the house?
You know, it was great. He loved it. I mean, you know, more testosterone in the house. But he did have, it was very weird. So my son's the oldest of my bunch, and he had kind of a little bit of issue with the youngest one, who was 2 at the time. And I think because, you know, to me, 2 is still a baby. I still want to coddle that, you know, and take care of, you know, the baby. And I think he had some residuals with him. But honestly, they blended really quick. I'm going to say the kids really melted together like butter. It was easy transition, except for my daughter, where it took some time. And then I remember one moment, you know, she didn't want to have anything to do with them. But then there was one time that she introduced them as her brothers, which I almost fell off my chair. But she realized there was something good about these kids. You know, she could play school with them. She can take them to the park. She could be the big sister, because at that point, you know, the 11-year-old, he was doing his own thing. So she was the big sister to these two little guys. And then she also realized that she can dress these boys up as girls and, you know, have a tea party with them. So, you know, it was all about control.
But it sounds like part of what you were doing was that you were creating a safe space for especially your daughter to voice her concerns to you, and so that mm-hmm. you could to listen to them and to like acknowledge that their concerns were valid and this is how you were going to handle them.
Right. And it's all about transition and making it smooth to where they don't see the bumps. You know, you might feel the bumps, but they're not going to see the bumps. Everything's going to stay the same. Mom is going to cook dinner. Mom is going to bake the cookies, or, you know, mom's going to read you your book at night, that the transition is seamless.
So you're saying what the key there is to try and get the kids to see, to understand, or to remove as much uncertainty as possible, and the,
exactly.
you know, what things in their lives today are going to stay the same.
Right, because kids, you know, whether they don't want it or not, kids want a ritual. They want to know what's coming, you know. They want to know that their lives are not going to be uprooted because of change. You know, the divorce for me was hard enough with kids, but I got to say, they're pretty resilient. As long as they can communicate with you, voice their opinions, like you said, and knowing that they're loved the same as they were before.
Well, I have more questions for you, but first we're going to take a short break. I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about blending a family and specifically about helping your child adapt to your remarriage. My guest is Maria Ashworth. Maria is an author, and she's written a book, Step 1, Step 2, Step 3, and 4, for children to reassure them that in spite of the change, the outcome of a blended family can be worth it. And it's based on Maria's own experience. It's really targeted for 4 to 8-year-olds. And Maria, I was wondering if you'd like to share with our listeners a little bit about what's unique about your book.
At the time, like I said, my daughter, Brooke, she was having a tough time. So looking in the library for something that could help children transition into two families into one, there wasn't anything out there. There were books on I have two daddies, or I'm going to daddy's house this weekend, or I have two mommies. There was nothing out there to help with children coming together. So at the time, I had been chronicling my divorce of 18 years when I was on the demise, and I thought, I can be an author at some point. And then when this happened with my daughter, I figured I'll try my hand in writing a picture book to kind of help ease her into this transition. And I came up with this book. It has a lyrical feel to it. And I read it to my daughter, and she loved it, especially because it was about her, but, you know, didn't have her name, but she liked that it was about her. And my husband, my fiance at the time, said that this is really could be very helpful. And in the book, I talk about the boys being step one, step two, step three, and four. That's kind of her way to put her hand out and say, stay away. But then she realizes in the end that there is something special about having a blended family. Even though it's for blended families, it's just about caring, sharing. You know, it has those values also about, you know, being in a big family and so forth.
When I saw the cover of the book, it reminded me of Dr. Seuss books, The Pictures.
Yes. Yes,
it has that
Dr. Seuss feel. My belief is if you're taking a serious topic, you have to make it relatable to children. And the way I think I did that, where it is lyrical, but also it's not hysterical, but it takes a lighter note on a serious situation. And I think it would really help children with the transitioning.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, and humor does help most of us adults cope with difficult mm-hmm. situations and see different perspectives in it. So mm-hmm. let me ask you some more questions, Maria. Going back to your children and how they were blending together, you know, when you were talking about them coming into the house, had they been spending time together before then, like before before you moved in together?
Yes. When we got engaged, we spent a lot of time. We went to the zoo, a museum. We went out to dinner, something to bring the kids together, and just kind of them getting to know each other, whether we go over to his house or our house. We were engaged for 9 months, especially because right. the older ones weren't pleased on it. We didn't want a wham bam, let's get married right away situation. Right. So we wanted them to ease into the transition of dad's getting married.
Right. So with the children's schedules, because you both have other parents, was it difficult to try and get their schedules to overlap? Did you try to get your kids together at the same time as his kids? Or
yes. And my ex-husband was good in that respect, where I would try and match up the kids, because of course with my present husband, you know, he gets first, third, and fifth. Well, my ex-husband would get first, third, and fifth, so that didn't pan out. So my ex-husband changed it up for me so I could have the kids when my present husband had the kids. We also did that. He also helped me out for vacations, so, and Christmas and Thanksgiving. So he was really flexible in that respect. And
so that makes a huge difference.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It helped out tremendously to kind of have a family unit and to keep a consistency. So, yes, it helped greatly.
And so when you guys decided that you were going to move in together, did you move into your house, move into his house, or did you buy a new house?
We moved into my house because, you know, he was living by himself at the time. He only had the kids first, third, and fifth. For me, I had bought my house, and I wanted the consistency for my children because they were living with us full time. And so he was fine with that. And then not but 2 years ago, we moved and bought a house together.
When you moved in together and his children came to your house, I mean, did your children have to switch bedrooms around and start sharing bedrooms? I know that you were saying earlier about you had a Jack and Jill bathroom that
yes.
your daughter had, but then presumably did your son have to share a room all of a sudden with three other boys?
No, because we had that guest room, so the boys were able to have their own room. The 11-year-old sometimes would bunk with my son, and my son didn't care. He liked having a buddy. So, no, we didn't have to do anything like that. And it's funny, even the little guy, when he had his night tremors, he would come into Brooke's room, and he would just, you know, cuddle with her, and she would take care of him. And, you know, we didn't know anything, but she'd say, oh, you know, Brett came in last night. And so she would kind of like take care of him. So yeah, it was good.
Okay. And what about other things like toys and learning to share toys or computer games?
Yeah, that's really difficult, especially, you know, when the electronic games came in. Yes, very difficult. You know, I'm going to say, like, for the kids, it wasn't so bad. I mean, that part was easy. It really was, and even kind of a little bit today, because I still have the youngest boys coming to us first, third, and fifth, and my daughter lives with me right now. She's 19. It really is the parenting. It really is, it becomes, I hate to say, a war between him and myself, because I have my way of raising my kids. He has his way of raising his kids, and we have our opinions of how we raise our kids. And I think the punishments, the viewpoints, it really becomes it's like you're on two different ships.
Yeah.
And I really hate to be like that. I really do. I try to see both sides. And I'm going to say he probably sees more sides than I do. He's better at being open-minded and listening to me than I, you know, I'm the mom and I know, you know, this and that. It's hard. That is probably my hardest thing, that We argue, I hate to use the word fight, we argue mostly about children. Even about the older children.
Right.
We still fight about the 19-year-old, the 21, the older ones. And we still argue. That is our. It's not about money. It's about our kids.
So, I mean, that speaks to what I was saying in the introduction is, like, you know, one of the reasons for subsequent marriages ending is because of the trying to blend children together, and they can be a destabilizing factor because of all, you know, and all of the things that you've mentioned, different parenting styles and who disciplines and how you discipline. And so how do you and your husband resolve those differences?
Well, you know, if, for instance, if we look at my daughter, she's 19, you know, she might go out in a pair of short shorts that he doesn't like, but he won't say anything to her. He'll come to me and say, you know, those are really bad shorts that she went out with today. I was like, if you didn't like them, you should have said something to her. Well, you know, I think he's afraid of how she's going to react to him.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, for me, like if the boys do something, okay, they took a video game from the house, but nobody told me, he took it back to his house. I got upset. And, you know, because we have other kids in the house here, you know, I have my son comes over, my daughter plays the game. They took it. I had no idea. My daughter said, where is it? I have no idea. I found out from, I text my stepson, where is it? Oh, I took it home. And I asked them not to take it home. And I brought that issue up to my husband, and he's like, what is the big deal? And the big deal for me is not so much that he took it. It's that I told him not to take it, and he did it anyway. And then my husband not siding with me, saying, I understand how you're feeling. I'll talk to him on this. That didn't come until we're 15 minutes into an argument,
right,
on why I feel dejected, you know?
Right.
And so that it comes after. It's almost like we have to spew ourselves and have this argument and then come back to terms. Okay, you know, we just had an incident with my 21-year-old and having a conversation about, you know, where we see him at and how we feel. And I just, you know, I'm venting to him, and then I'm like, I'm not asking you to solve this problem for me. I'm just trying to talk to you. And we're still learning about each other. And
yeah.
I think that's, you know, we're 9 years into it, almost 10. We are still learning about each other and how to not step on toes and what pushes our buttons. And sometimes I'm just really stubborn. I will definitely admit that. And he knows that.
Let me ask you another question here. What about spending alone time with your biological children? It seems to me like, you know, that becomes an important factor, that you have to make sure that you're carving time out for them to be with you one-on-one.
Yes, very much so. And we've been doing this, I can't even, since I can remember. We call it family dinner. And, you know, of course, when he goes every first, third, and fifth, you know, when the kids come to us, but there is the in-between day where he has dinner with his kids. So a Wednesday night, he has dinner with his kids. I call it Wednesday night dinner, and I have dinner with my children. So we'll have dinner. We might go to a movie. We might go for ice cream. That's our time to be alone. There is now that his boys are older, he takes them to a piece of property, and they ride dirt bikes. And that's okay with me. Go, because then I can do my daughter thing, or if my son has something, he wants me to go to lunch, my daughter wants to go shopping even though I hate it, I'll be able to do that. So I like the time that we get to spend with our kids. I don't mind if he goes and spends it with his kids. I don't mind if he goes and visits his older children. That does not bother me, because then I get to spend quality time on my end.
Right,
so,
right.
So it is important. It is.
So, Maria, we're almost out of time here. I have one more question for you. Is if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
What would I do differently? I probably would make sure that I sit down with all the children and have a conversation as a whole. I think we really never sat down with the kids, all of them, and talked, how do you feel about this? What are your reservations? You know, what questions can we answer? We didn't do that. We thought everything was fine with it. And I think maybe if we had this conversation, things could be a lot, it could have been a lot more smooth. And I think we hit a lot of bumps because I don't think they understood or understood me and where I was coming from. And I think any questions they have, we could have nipped it in the bud right in the beginning.
Right.
And that's my thing. I think we could have been more communicative with all of the children in one sitting.
Right.
So everyone got it out on the table.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's probably a really valuable tip for our listeners to bear in mind. And thank you for joining us, Maria.
I got to say, I had so much fun. I can't believe 30 minutes were already gone already. I was looking for more.
it goes fast. So, listeners, my guest today is Maria Ashworth. Maria is an author, and she's written a book for children aged between 4 and 8. It's called Step 1, Step 2, Step 3, and 4 for children to reassure them that in spite of the change, the outcome of a blended family can be worth it. And as you've heard, it's all based on Maria's own experience. Now, some people might think that a divorce coach, which is what I am, is anti-marriage, but that's not true. I think being in a deeply committed, intimate relationship can be hugely rewarding. And the key is to be mindful about entering into marriage. Second marriages are definitely more complex than first marriages, especially when there are children involved. And that means going into it, being realistic about the challenges, keeping your eyes open, and perhaps most of all, really working on your communication skills and the conflict resolution skills that we heard Maria talk about during the podcast. And I think if you can do that, then you have a great opportunity to successfully blend your families. And I just want to remind you that you don't have to pay attention to those statistics, because the statistics don't have to apply to you. You can do things differently to avoid that. So I want to thank you for listening. I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce. If you're looking for more support with ending your marriage and making that transition from we to me, please do check out my blog at sincemydivorce.com. And I hope you'll join us again next time.